Hi, hello and welcome to Poppedia Podcast. My name is Kunal. I'm going to be discussing Dune, the film, the idea with Khushi. The film starts with the quote, "Power over spice is power over all," which makes sense because then there's very little contextualizing throughout the movie of what the world is. Denis Villeneuve in a recent Times of London interview said, "I don't remember movies because of a good line. I remember them because of a strong image." And we do see that a lot, especially in the second part, right? The imagery, the visual literacy, it is haunting, it is magnificent. The spectacle goes beyond the idea of storytelling, beyond the idea of narration, too. Not to be disrespectful or anything, but it carries such strong visual hold over the audience. It should be seen in the biggest screen possible, according to me. But that is also something I would like to ask you, Khushi. Do you feel making spectacle enough is a good excuse to not use dialogues or not use that emotional touch that we often see in, say, a Rajamouli's blockbuster or even in a Sanjay Leela Bhansali's film, right? And let's just start the podcast by that. And what do you think about the film?
Yeah, I think I don't think dialogue is so necessary per se to convey emotion, right? And a lot of times landscape can also evoke a lot of feelings. But I think Villeneuve has been sort of reticent in using dialogue for I think for a very long time.
Yes.
And also because of the kind of source material, right? Because, okay, Dune is always considered like a film that cannot, you know, a novel that cannot be adapted, cannot be such a hype about it. And I think also because it is so thought heavy, right? There's a lot of internal dialogue. And if you try to sort of directly translate it into literal dialogue, I don't think that would have worked. So I think that Villeneuve's sort of strategy in terms of it's not using a lot of very, very tight screenplay, just, you know, very minimal, I think also. So it sort of helps and also allows a lot of his visual medium to convey more and sort of for us to sort of also pay enough attention to sort of what's around and sort of it starts feeling lived in. So I think it helps in this particular case.
Makes sense. And do you feel that in the vision of director, like if you try to justify what Villeneuve has made, do you think in his vision, because he must have seen what David Lynch made with the Dune, right? And as you have talked about Dune, the book is considered to be monumental of science fiction. Even when the book came out, people were confused trying to understand what the world is, what the ecology is, what people are trying to say and all that. So do you think for Denny, it was like, I just want to show what the landscape of the world is rather than to talk about the politics. So it's basic Lion King story, right? If we see in that manner about the stories. So what do you think about, do you think it's fairly adapted into a film in your perspective or not?
I think, you know, because if you talk about it, the book initially essentially was like serials, right? It was a weekly serial. And sort of that in itself, you know, the book itself was a serial. Now, when you try to sort of compress it into a film, right, it is able to convey a lot of the ideas, but it just makes it, of course, it feels reductive. Of course, every film feels from adapted from a book feel reductive. But so there's a lot of nuances, you know, that is once you start looking a bit closer, I just wish that sort of there's always things should have been prolonged or because they're talking about very, very complex ideas here. Because Herbert has sort of researched so much and sort of there are so many smaller details.
True.
And it's like I just wish it was a series.
And it's like
but I
the book tries to draw the line between politics, between religion, individual will. There's so much happening in the book, right? And the film tries to
and also
accomplish it all.
That was a major thing actually in terms of environmentalism. That was such and ecology, that was such a huge part of the book, you know. They were like indexes, appendices, just full of just descriptions of the ecology, the trees, you know, the methods, the experimentation that they are doing on. And, you know, finding out that they have such a huge hoard of water was such a revelation in the book because you're always thinking that, oh, this, and just the idea that even while living in such harsh conditions, their dream is still of, you know, something and they're sort of working towards it. Yes, they are waiting for a messiah, but that's not the only thing that they've been doing all this time. And because I think there's certain sense, there's an overt sort of discussion about the religious undertones and what religion and faith can do to people, to the mass. And there's a lot of that in the film. I think that the focus has sort of, they have focused on that particular aspect. Because even the character of Chani, right? I think it helps in a way that she is like the critical viewpoint, right? She's the what you're supposed to stand for. And it's around halfway point in the film, right? We shift sort of in the first half, we are in sort of like Paul's point of view. We are sort of trying to, we are understanding the Fremen, their siege, their ways of living, and sort of him coming to making a family from the people around him. And in the second half, it sort of shifts. I think we start seeing Paul from like Chani's point of view and sort of seeing where he's going and where he's leading. It helps, I think, because it's almost that he sort of turns into this non-emotional, distant being who's this very prophetic prophet, and yet there's no humanity sort of that we can sense from, and that we can see through Chani. So then that's why that's Pura, the critic of the Messiah. Everything is happening from Chani. In the books it wasn't so, it was in Paul's head. Everything was the critique, the belief in himself, everything was within him. It's nice that they gave Chani the role of that, the role of the critic, because I think it would have been difficult to portray just all of these factions inside it. Actually, the middle section, right, when he's sort of doubting himself, doubting the problem, he's not going
हाँ
south. Mother is telling him, you should go, you should go, this is where it leads. But he's trying to sort of fight with destiny almost. And so that section, I think, was very interesting. I loved that, but him sort of struggling with it. And I wish that struggle was longer. Because it's very sudden. They move to the south, and suddenly he's going into the temple hall and drinking that water.
yes, and Vani, the do you think if you had not read the book, it like middle of Dune 1 में तो है ही, बट इन ड्यून 2 एज वेल मिडल ऑफ द मूवी आई वाज थिंकिंग कि इफ आई नॉट रेड द बुक टू टुक लाइक कंप्लीटली अंडरस्टैंड व्हाट द डायरेक्टर वांट्स टू से इज लाइक इम्पॉसिबल. आई डोंट इवन थिंक इट्स पॉसिबल विदाउट रीडिंग द बुक इफ
चैलेंजिंग.
यू नो टू अंडरस्टैंड व्हाट द एस्पेक्ट लाइक एज यू हैव टॉक्ट अबाउट हाउ डिटेल्ड द इकोलॉजी ऑफ ड्यून इज. फ्रैंक हर्बर्ट ने कितना डिटेल में उसको बनाया था. आई डो नॉट थिंक दैट लेवल दे हैव रीच्ड इन द फिल्म पर्टिकुलरली. डिड यू लाइक व्हाट दे डिड विद फ्योरड्रा था.
It felt very cookie cutter villain, थोड़ा. Because the Harkonnens as a whole, I know even in the books it was something of that sort, but the whole scene when Feyre is first introduced, right, is where you see the mask, you see Harkonnen mask. And what I realized now while thinking back on it is that you're seeing very few civilians in this whole thing, right? In
Yes.
the Harkonnen world, that's the thing, that there are people around, and of course it's black and white and all that, but it's like I cannot see any sort of heterogeneous sense of a mass. It feels very VFX. I mean, yeah, maybe good, but VFX, I can see that there are people, but it doesn't feel, it starts feeling very one note. When is that? This particular planet, this kind of people. And even with the Fremen, right? At least, of course, there was this rebel group, and so there were nuances of, but I wish there was like more diversity there. In terms of, all right, there's one group who believes in the prophecy, and they also sort of believe in Paul, right? Then there, as a outsider, as the one, then there could be others who believe in the prophecy but do not think Paul is the one, and there could be others who don't believe in the prophecy. There's a lot of depth that you get there, which I felt was in terms of faith, right? I like the mirroring that they did with, Paul's character and them being, there was that, they were like two sides of a coin almost. And the Gom Jabbar scene is sort of mirrored, right, with both of them. So a lot of, some of the aspects of, and the way Paul starts behaving after he drinks the water of life is sort of, it is mirroring sort of what faith is doing. So that bit I did like. But I think they could have reduced it just to, so you had Dev Bautista's character, you had, they could have sort of amalgamated into one for the film, at
True,
least.
true. And
If they've
also,
taken so much freedom.
you know, because you have talked about this scene, there's also this one scene that I feel was very memorable for me, because the fetus, for a brief second, Anya Taylor-Joy comes and she's talking with Paul, and then she's gone. And I think that's where kind of cinema wins over literature, you know, somewhere.
I really like that section, you know, and when she is such a huge part of like the conversations, right? And it's also a way of sort of just explicitly saying, you know, what's going on. And that's a good way of exposition, but also it doesn't feel very contrived. The great thing I like, I noticed this over the two films. When you first see Paul having visions, right? There are fragments, they're like parts. You know, there's a hand, there is the feet, maybe there's this very small fragments, right? When he first sort of inhales the spice, the fragments get larger, right? And he sort of sees abstract things. So there's going to be holy war, this, that. They're larger, but they're still fragments. Later, as he sort of gains more control over it, he sees the visions keep changing, right? So you see first, you know, then when he sees the war and him fighting, and then it's replaced by the Chani fighting, and James, he was supposed to. He sees James killing him. It turns out he kills James, and you sort of see that uncertainty, right? Uncertainty. There's this sense of confusion that these dreams real, and they also have this very hazy dreamlike quality. And even on the first part, right, when he sees sort of himself following a female figure into the desert in the south, and people dying of faith instead of a sort of fundamentalist sort of approach, and that is also quite hazy, right? And then sort of as you move forward, it's uncertain. After the only vision and the last vision that we see is with Anya Taylor-Joy as his sister, and that is extremely clear, right? And that's when he like gains complete sort of control over it after drinking that water, and that's it. Then we have no sort of idea what's going on inside his head, and that's it. That's where we stop seeing his visions and start looking at him from the outside. So that was very interesting as a narrative choice. That's getting clearer, 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 and we end with that.
True, true, true. But many things about Dune 2, the decisions like this make the whole film more clearer. Like, now, can you imagine Dune 1 as a standalone film after like 2 years, or even after like 2 months of the film's release? Like, I cannot even imagine going to the theater and like knowing where Dune 1 ended. It doesn't feel like a complete film, right?
It's
And
this one also doesn't feel like a
it
complete
huh,
film,
but there's
right?
still this like
That,
climatic feels to the film.
true, but it's almost like the way it ends so abruptly, which is also, I mean, Villeneuve was saying that he was being true to the film, true to the book, right? And the way it ends, and that I think helps that he's not following the typical sort of three-part structure, and there's a climax and there's an end. There's always, of course, there was a big sort of section in here which was the sort of vindication, the sort of climactic sort of high, and it sort of, I think it sort of tapers a little bit and then this left.
And
And he's
does
always
the
like,
film
oh
bore you?
no, it did not bore me,
Okay,
it
makes
did not.
sense.
I was captivated like throughout. There were a few, I think I wish, you know, that I don't know whether Villeneuve was the action director of the film.
I'm not sure.
I wish there was a choreographer, an action choreographer, who's also picking up the beats of the action, because wars is such a huge section of this, right? And you know, for example, Gurney and this Dev Bautista, right? They have this face off. Like, Gurney has been waiting since eons. Like even before, you know, they were vanquished, he had this deep hatred for the Harkonnens, and we are waiting for him to feel this sense of, you know, oh, finally, sort of
Yes.
the sense of revenge. And but I don't know, I think that might be a little also intentional on his part, because he didn't want it to feel too so I don't, that was a, there was a feeling of joy almost in the sense of revenge as you're on this side. But I think Villeneuve was trying very hard not to keep a balance between we want to believe in Paul and what he stands for, right? But is also critical of his methods, right? And so maybe that's why there's this feeling of confusion, whether we are supposed to, there's a sense of rooting for this family. They've lost everything, for the Fremen have been colonized for so long. But also there's this sense of, oh, but how far will they go, and what are the consequences of, you know, so that is sort of pushing and pulling. And what I remember, and I was talking about it after it immediately finished, I was just feeling the sense, it was this sadness, right? About the way the Emperor was talking about Leto One, right? And you know how he had started believing in the rule of the heart, and how that is not sort of acceptable in this kingdom. And that was just heartbreaking, honestly. I think that was when I felt most, honestly, in the whole thing about this death of a duke. He didn't believe in revenge. There was a certain idealistic sort of approach on it. There was this, and the, also I was feeling sad because there were too many things about real life that were reflected in this fiction, right? There are too many things that we're seeing around us. That's like, yes, I see the connection. It's sometimes it's too overt as well, but, and it's like, here is violence inevitable? Is the sort of thing that I was left
And
with.
you know, I think you are right. I mean, it might be intentional for the way he has crafted the whole film, but that's what is missing from Dune. Both the parts, part one and part two. Like, while I was reading the book, I had a sense of connect with all these people. In Dune 2, the only connect I felt was when the audience starts to cheer for Paul and he's going to kill, and he becomes the Messiah. I think that's what's missing from the film for me personally.
I think now what might have helped maybe is that they could have led us to sort of believe uncritically that this is your typical white savior trope, right? This is what you're getting. And yes, you've put in these seeds of doubt, thoda thoda, with respect to Paul, but let us gain that high and then realize that, oh my God, what the hell? You know, this is, we were feeling happy about it, but now the rug's pulled from under you. Maybe that might have, you know, made more of an impact. Maybe this is a more balanced way of going about it, but I think that would have created a more emotional sort of engagement with the film,
And
maybe.
within all the criticism, I'm still very happy that someone has made like a still to be viewed version of Dune, right? Like, whatever we say, when you're watching Dune in cinema, it's a treat to watch, right? Like, since
Absolutely.
it's an eye candy. Like, you just want to watch the visuals,
Absolutely.
keep watching it, keep watching it. I'm not sure who the production designer is. Patrice something, right? He won an Oscar for Dune 1, and again gone to the depth of creating sets, creating the design to a way like even when a scene passes, you are still revisiting the scene.
I'm an architect, right? So I can sort of see these these sort of the way they've designed the Fremen in the last one, right? There were like more detailed shots of Arrakis and the city of Arrakeen. And you know, just the way light has been dealt with in terms of, and there's a certain emptiness in that frame, which sort of gives it this grandeur and gives it a certain gravity, right? And that's also maybe makes it feel a little more detached. But also the sets are sort of beautiful. Even this Fremen, when there was a lot of references, it felt like, you know, we were walking through Ahmedabad, some stepwell in Ahmedabad, right?
Yes.
There was a sense of that just the water, even the all the women, they felt like our Rajasthani folklore, the women who talk about it, it felt very vernacular in that sense. It was very, very beautiful.
Also, the scene where Chani is teaching Paul how to like sand, how to walk in on the sand. That's also so poetic. That's also so poetic. It's like
That's
watching a
beautiful.
Bollywood film, right? They are both dancing in a way. There's a rhythm to it.
I think there was a double there. Maybe. Just the feet you see, right? Because in the first one, I was like, yeah, this is not the way to go about, walking. This feels so fake. They are trying to walk and it feels very tilted. And even this time around, I think the actor is trying, but there's a certain grace, right, in the way they walk. And that you can see in Chani, but not in, maybe that's intentional.
Good. And I like this thing about films, like anything could be intentional, any critique could be, anything could be intentional. Also, there's this one scene that I like very much, in which Paul is walking through the whole crowd and the crowd is kind of slippery away, and ऊपर से ऐसा पूरा वाइड शॉट है एंड यू कैन जस्ट सी इतना स्ट्रक्चर जाते 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 एंड दैट्स व्हाट आई एम टॉकिंग अबाउट. विजुअली द फिल्म इज वेरी ग्रेट लाइक फॉर एंड बिकॉज़ यू नो आई आल्सो वांट टू मेक फिल्म्स इन फ्यूचर राइट. आई वाज जस्ट काइंड ऑफ कि अच्छा हाँ, इट मेक्स सेंस मेक्स सेंस मेक्स सेंस मेक्स सेंस. फक डायलॉग फक एवरीथिंग दिस कंप्लीटली मेक्स सेंस. बट देन बिकॉज 2 दिन हो गए अब फिल्म देखे, यू स्टार्ट टू रियलाइज कि हाँ ऐसा है, दिस 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 दिस.
I think the major one, also the issue, I don't have an issue with, the sister being in the womb and them talking and this being this, invisible entity but still present in the story. But what it does is now is that in the first one, I remember very clearly of it just being 2 weeks since Jessica's been pregnant. And that was before the invasion. And you're like, the fetus is not even born. It's been like, what, 8 months? And you have all of this happening at 8 months. You start feeling in the book, there's so much time. There are years. Paul as a child, Jessica as a child. There's so much. Things like, there's a certain sense of, although that seems believable, okay, he's able to sort of take over. And Jessica, I think, they also, I think Jessica has a more major role in the films, as the mother and the child. They're going with that trope of, the mother and the son as the saviors.
Yes, even
And
that dialogue, fear is the mind killer, is being proven by her the first film.
And I like that, she was like an active part of Paul's ascension in a way, and she was sort of also working through, and she has a particular way of going about it, of gaining power. And Paul, initially we would think that it was something different, and then it sort of merges into two, into one. But I think it feels truncated after they reach the south. It feels like in terms of pacing, just is too far. And actually, the scene where he's speaking in front of the elders and all of the leaders, it doesn't feel as convincing to me somehow.
Yes.
Because I don't know if Timothée Chalamet is trying to like project a very charming, a very essay. This tonality, even when Jessica is leaving and he's saying, that's not hope. And it comes out of all of a sudden, and it doesn't feel like a natural conversation that, the argument is rising and then that's like the last. And even while he's shouting at things at people, it feels kind of that it feels very pretentious and it just feels very fake. But maybe that's also intentional, because they are trying to show that
But
this is
and
all just maybe pretend.
also, now that you have talked about it, do you like, I was thinking about this while I was reading the book. Usme jab Paul from a boy to a man to like a man emperor to a messiah, you can feel him growing up, right? Timothy is a great actor, but I think
The
that's what's
physicality.
been missing from Paul's character. Like once he becomes messiah, you still kind of see him as a boy only. If you're not read the book, it's like he's the same only, because there's not enough conviction in himself also. Ki after even he accepts ki I'm a messiah, there's no conviction. because there are no dialogues or there are not enough lines through which it's not that the book can understand what the context to this is, right? Yeah.
Stilgar, we talk about Stilgar.
Who played Stilgar?
Javier Bardem.
Javier Bardem. हाँ, उसका भी आई वॉज थिंकिंग द सेम कि उसको लाइक द ह्यूमर पार्ट ऑफ इट पूरा ऐसे होप दिया है कि हाँ बस योर जॉब इज टू कीप द ऑडियंस एंगेज एंड द ऑडियंस मस्ट लाफ व्हेन यू कम ऑन द स्क्रीन.
Very interesting that because he is like a religious despot, right? In a way, right? And you are still, that's like the most human character in
हाँ
the
हाँ
world. I think that sort of feels true, but
And
it was a relief actually
हाँ, and continuous
sometimes.
he is the medium through which he Danny is showing कि people have faith and Florence is continuously उसका मोनोलॉग चल रहा है कि faith is important religion religion faith 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 faith, faith, faith. I got a little bored with that after a point of time because then when are you channeling this energy to? Where are you channeling this energy? You are continuously talking about faith, 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 faith. But I do not see the conviction in the film. That's what my whole problem right now is. But I don't know if, अगर मैं और 2 दिन सोचूंगा, my opinions would have changed completely. Yeah, I do want to see the film again. Do you wish to see the film again?
I'm planning to
हाँ, I'm also planning to see the film again.
have to.
हाँ,
Also,
why
I
not?
think Florence, the princess, what I like in the film, some part of it is that you in Paul's life, once he becomes like a messianic figure, in the end when he asks everyone to bow to him, right, as he's the religious figure, he's a religious head, he's the emperor, and everyone does except the women in his life, right? You have Irulan, you have Chani, you have his mother, and I think Gurney also, right, didn't bow, right? And that was
Doesn't.
his close friend, and those people are sort of the only strands of humanity, though the who are seeing a strand of humanity in him and not godhood, which was nice. Nice. Felt good. What did you think about the atomic power thing?
मैं तो भूल गया था ऐसा कुछ था. मैं कंप्लीटली फॉरगॉट अबाउट दैट.
Also don't
हाँ,
remember
आई डोंट
anything about
रिमेम्बर. आई
atomic
डोंट
warhead.
वही वही आई डोंट रिमेम्बर एनीथिंग. लाइक मेरे को बहुत टाइम हो गया बुक रीड किए भी, बट
Same here.
हाँ, आई वाज आल्सो कंफ्यूज अबाउट व्हाट्स हैपनिंग विद द एटॉमिक थिंग कंटिन्यूअसली बिकॉज इट्स बीन मेंशन लाइक 2-3 times, राइट?
And maybe it's like it's a way of sort of talking about like maybe current, just the real world, and sort of maybe that's a, but I don't know, I don't somehow don't remember the book talking about it. And
Same.
but also the way it was, it's also a gripe I have with the climax, right? Because you're waiting for these two sides to sort of finally sort of have a go at it and just sort of fight till the death, sort of, and you have the Sardaukar, you have the Harkonnens, and there's 3-4 of them, and there's a certain scale to it, and immediately with the atomic warhead, it seems like too easy a
हाँ,
solution somehow. It's just like immediately it's just
बट यू कैन स्टिल ड्रॉ
yeah, that's
पैरेलल कि बिकॉज वाई व्हेन द बुक वाज बीइंग रिटन इट वाज बेसिक अमेरिका वर्सेस रशिया थिंग, राइट? आर्क बेरा एंड ऑल दैट, एंड देन
द
इट
कोल्ड
डज
वॉर
मेक हाँ इट डज मेक अ लिटिल सेंस कि क्यों ऐसा किया होगा और क्यों कर सकते हैं. डू यू नो इफ देर इज गोइंग टू बी अ ड्यून पार्ट 3 और नॉट? बिकॉज आई एम नॉट श्योर इफ इज गोइंग टू मेक अ
I listened to, I mean, I heard a few interviews with Denny, right? And he was like, he was very non-committal about it, right? Ki
हाँ
banega to banega, nahi banega to pata
हाँ
nahi.
वही बिकॉज फॉर द फर्स्ट टू
But
पार्ट्स ही वॉज वेरी हाइप्ड अप, क्या मेरा
I
मैग्नम ओपस
think
आने वाला है.
वो contractual, वो I think that मतलब कि that was sort of based on, that will be based on where, how given to performs probably.
Makes sense बिकॉज अ ड्यून ट्रिलॉजी वुड बी बैंगिंग.
Have you read the second book?
No.
the third book.
No.
Well, yeah, me neither. Me neither. And I've looked at the summaries, right, to sort of understand where this is going. And what I've heard from most people is just it gets weirder, gets more
हाँ,
intricate.
नो, आई नो व्हाट हैपन्स पूरा, क्योंकि
Yes.
वन ऑफ माय फ्रेंड
Yeah.
हैज रेड एवरी ड्यून थिंग दैट इज केम,
Wow.
चिल्ड्रन ऑफ ड्यून
Wow.
से लेकर सब कुछ उसने पढ़ के रखा है.
Wow.
इट जस्ट कीप्स गेटिंग फक्ड
चैप्टर
अप एंड इट्स नॉट गुड.
आफ्टर Yeah,
ही सेज
थोड़ा
नॉट टू
अच्छे
रीड.
सा है, सॉर्ट ऑफ एंड्स विद द होल थिंकिंग मशीन वर्सेस ह्यूमन वाला ट्रोप,
हाँ,
सॉर्ट ऑफ एंड्स समवेयर देयर,
पॉल का
बट
सन एंड देन उसका सन एंड इट गेट्स
या
वेरी,
ओवर
इट गेट्स वेरी बेसिक.
5,000 years, 5,000 years, and बट आई वुड लव टू. What I really liked, I think in Dune Messiah, at least the way I want to see, I'm really excited to see sort of this turning into like a proper now criticism. We sort of shifted the first one was that you still with this very, it's hopeful, there's this young lad
हाँ,
and he'll save everyone. And the second half, there's some doubt, and sort of we're ending on a larger question about what is appropriate and how far is too far. And I think the third one probably would somehow descend into just mayhem. And I would love to see that sort of the growth of that character into turning into this, and then the sort of how sort of he deals with this responsibility, this guilt, this
हाँ, यस.
prophecy. That would be lovely. And this complete critic, almost like an anti-hero, you
हाँ,
completely shift.
एंड दैट्स व्हाई
That
ड्यून
would be
ट्रिलॉजी वुड बैंग
something.
कंप्लीटली. व्हाट
Yes.
दे शुड डू इज दे
Yeah.
शुड वेट फर्स्ट फॉर टिमोथी टू ग्रो अप.
I
एंड
agree.
देन मेक द फिल्म.
Yeah.
आई हैव हर्ड
Yeah.
दे आई हैव हर्ड इज करंटली मेकिंग एन अडेप्टेशन ऑफ रेंडेवू विथ Ram. Have you heard about that book? I heard that book is also like
No,
it's
I haven't
Arrival
heard.
on steroids. That's what I've heard. Ah, so, but
But I
I
think
think we've still
it's a
created like a 30-35 minute conversation.
yes. I think it's a beautiful film, and I think what I like about Denis is that he's not following a formula, right,
Yeah.
of the typical hero story, and the what's become typical of sci-fi now, right? And so the nature of it, I mean, I find that things have value if even if just for the sake of being different. I think right, ki even sirf sirf alag hai utna kafi hai, just in terms of to sort of compare with respect to the blockbusters. And you did typical definition of a blockbuster, right, the sort of things we imagine, the sort of scale we imagine. There's scale, no doubt, in this film, but it's of a different kind. I think that's also representative of the book, anyway,
Yes.
because even though it was one of the pioneering science fiction books at the time, and sort of it was sort of the story was sort of taken forward, and then you have the Star Wars, you have the great science fiction books, and this was like a contemporary of them. But this was what sort of differentiated it from a lot of those, is that there's a certain complexity, there's a certain sort of negotiation, there are moral questions, yes, but there's like political intrigue, there's a lot of existential sort of questions that are inbuilt in the book, and that is also always reflective of the times. It feels very relevant today, right? Even if it was written such a long time ago. And I think that's also, I think the beauty of the film. And in the hands of Denis, I think it has sort of it's been able to capture that sense quite beautifully. And it's quite stark. It is minimal. It is grand, but so that sort of makes those it doesn't sort of shy away from, yes, there is a little comic thing with Stilgar per se, right? But it's not meta, ki matlab, oh no,
हाँ
see, we know
हाँ
what we are doing, but it's very sincere, and that's what sort of I like about it. Okay,
There's
It's not
honesty in
trying to assert.
the film. There's no doubt
Yes.
about it. And it's a good
Yeah.
thing when
And
filmmakers, when big filmmakers like this try to make films on novels such as Dune, right? As I said also, I'll share you the link of the book, this Maya,
Yes.
this Rendezvous with Rama or something. And I
Yeah.
that's also a great book. And
Absolutely.
sci-fi should always be enjoyed, right?
Yeah,
Films like
yeah,
this
yeah.
should always be made. And because you're talking about Dune, there's this one review I read about the book, the original book. It was written in the 1960s only for the Telegraph or something. In that, the writer wrote elements and aspects of Dune would be seen in sci-fi, in any work of sci-fi that's going to come over the century. And that's very true, right? Star Wars mein dikhta hai,
Yeah.
even fantasies like Game of Thrones mein dikhta hai, whatever you take.
Yeah.
Dune,
Yeah,
a
agree with.
portion of Dune is always present in whatever
Yeah.
science fiction
Yeah.
or whatever fantasy you are reading. So the
Yeah.
impact of that is also very great.
Yeah. And I'm sort of a big believer in sort of, I have a lot of friends who sort of, and a lot of people around me who think e fiction is some or you know, pop culture is a very what's the right word for it? It's a very shallow thing, or it's, you know, it's just entertainment, or it's
Depth
just,
नहीं
yeah, and
है.
it's a lot of it is just ki, this is just, you know, time pass and a lot of things. This is just a film, and a lot, and there's a lot of discussion in that, and especially there are people who will read non-fiction but not fiction. Like, fiction is just stories and all of that, and I have a big issue with that. I mean, I could
Same.
talk non-stop about it because I think what I have understood, you know, over the years, sort of reading so much. I've been reading since childhood, and what I've realized is that who I am as a person, right? The things that I understand about interpersonal relationships have been less from experience and more through books, right? The sort of understanding I have about the world as a whole. And fiction sort of makes it palatable. You know, Abhi, you read all of these things, the events that happen in Dune, you read it in a news article, you just feel tragic and you don't want to deal with it. It's very escapist of us, and my tendency is to, like, it feels too tragic. And this sort of allows you a way to sort of, you know, actually think about it without having that deep sense of sort of guilt or helplessness. I think fiction allows you a way to sort of, you know, not fear in a way,
Ah, yes.
and sort of actually sort of look at the world. I think reality can only be read, you know, indirectly. There's no real, if you sort of, it keeps on shifting so much, you try to look at it directly and it moves, it shifts. It's so very, the complex world we live in. And so fiction sort of undercuts all of that pop culture, all of this. And it sort of allows you to, yeah, it sort of deals with your day-to-day life, day-to-day truths and facts that you have to live with. You have to live with war, you have to live with, you know, what's coming. And it sort of, yeah, it's a catharsis in a way. And so I
True.
think that's,
And I don't
yeah.
think there's any like logical understanding to when people say ki fiction or pop culture doesn't have depth. I mean, all the stories that we see, even stories like Dune, it's taking place in a place which is universal. Like when we watch theater, if there's no space, right? It's a universal space. You just kind of understand it. It's the direct way of your interpretation. It's the direct way to channel whatever
Exactly.
your world around is, whatever your politics is, whatever your identity is. I mean, I don't think fiction mein jitna depth hota hai, like the greatest of the philosophies would lack that, right? Because of that universal quality. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. And I think we
Yes.
should end the podcast here.
Yes,
Thank you for
absolutely.
joining.